And so you stuck with me for the full hour. Again, as we shift over to the message, let's just again open with a quick word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, again, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather. Lord, I thank you for your word, for your guiding and your leading. Father, for the message that you've given to me to deliver. Father, I know it's not just for the people who are sitting in front of me, but it's for me too. And pray that you just work in all our hearts and draw us close. In Jesus' name, amen. I trust everybody enjoyed the summer we had last weekend. And I'm sure everyone's looking forward to all those new and exciting things this fall, right? Okay, well, summer isn't quite done yet. At least that's not what it says on the calendar, but it sure feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but one of the things that comes to mind to me as we get closer to September is that things start picking up again. And when September comes, I'm sure I'm not alone in when I see that commercial on TV where there's the happy parent pushing the cart along and two little kids in tow like this, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. And I was looking, I thought there's probably a few people this year who appreciate that commercial more than they have in the past now that they're retired. But now, fall is also that time, at least for some of us, when work seems to get busier, season starts to wind down. Some seasons are winding down, like golf seems to be winding down. For the Jays, well, the season seemed to wind down about 2 months ago. But other ones are starting up, aren't they? You're starting to see things like advertisements and articles for the under-18 hockey tournament. We're starting to see things for the Olympics. It's time when people think, okay, it's time to get back into the gym. Or maybe over the summer people are staying in the gym just to look good for the summer. I'm not sure what everyone's experience with sports and fitness is. I know there's some out there who are involved in a bunch of different sports. I know that some go work out at a gym or a fitness center on occasion. But what are some ideas out there that are needed for ingredients for success? What is the recipe for success in sports or in gym? You heard what some of the young people thought about the recipe for success on the games, and we didn't get into the boxing one, what the recipe for success is there, beating up your dad or something, but what, any thoughts as to what you have to do to be successful? Pardon?
Discipline.
Discipline. Good. Thanks. Perseverance.
A plan of maintenance.
A plan of maintenance. Good. Commitment. Excellent. Anything else? That's good. Pardon?
Desire,
yes.
Pain.
Pardon?
Pain.
The ability to put up with pain. Good. I just scribbled a few down, but that, and I think they're reflected here in terms of having goals. Have a partner. Encourage. For sports, there's a lot of teamwork as well. Dedication, discipline. I didn't have ability to take pain, but that's great. That's there. Diet. And we heard this morning, practice. Practice on those games. Why do people put themselves through that pain and through all that effort anyway? Any thoughts? To be the best. Good. What about just, it feels good to do it. Feel good about ourselves, have a sense of accomplishment, especially if we get to the top and we're the best. If anyone, I don't know if people go to the gym, I find it helps increase my energy levels. Just being physically fit, or at least trying to be physically fit, but being active. Maybe for some of the young people, as they get ready for summer, they want to look good at the beach and impress people at the beach. The writer of Ecclesiastes says this. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. In other words, it's all for nothing. In Ecclesiastes, we also read in chapter 3 that he has made everything appropriate in his time. He's also set eternity in their heart. Yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know there is nothing better for them to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take away from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. So here we have King Solomon, who is one of the wisest and richest people to walk the earth. And he's probably the one who wrote this book of Ecclesiastes. And this book is about the futility of chasing after even the good things in life, including things like wisdom, pleasure, wealth, work. We're reminded in this book that death is a certainty, unless Jesus returns and gets us before that time. And if we're living in a relationship with the Lord, we can truly enjoy those gifts that he gives us, including our work, our hobbies, and other things. I should note that I don't think sports and getting exercise aren't bad things per se. For some, it's a way of earning a living, isn't it? Like everything else in life, though, I think we need to keep these things in proper context by using our abilities, our time, our talents to honor God, and not to be inflating our own egos. We don't do this just to build ourselves up. One of my favorite sweat tops was given to me quite a few years ago. This is a picture of one similar. It's not the exact one. Here's the sweat top. My sister was in BC, and she came back with this sweatshirt from Gold's Gym. And if anyone's ever kind of worked out, they know that Gold's Gym is the gym to go work out in. And as you can tell from my Schwarzenegger-like physique, I've never been to Gold's Gym. I probably never will go to Gold's Gym. But I like the sweat top nonetheless. Well, so what do sports and gyms and everything else have with the fact that you're here at church this morning? My goal this morning is to encourage everyone to get into and stay into God's gym, so to speak, to be built and strengthened in the Lord Jesus. There's some references to sports in the Bible, aren't there? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I think that's where baseball, in the Sabbath, is where baseball got the seventh inning stretch. Oh, maybe not. Okay. But there are some real references, aren't there? So, for example, the Apostle Paul. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Then they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave. God's word tells us that we're all out of shape spiritually. This is because all of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short. And God's standard for being in shape spiritually is perfection. So none of us have attained perfection. So that being the case, I think we all need to join God's gym and develop spiritually. That's why he created us, isn't it? Joining is easy. The only requirement to become a member is for a person to admit that he or she has sinned, to acknowledge that Jesus gave up his life as a payment for that sin, for those shortcomings that we've had, and to seek to develop a relationship with Jesus. And you're in. It's that simple. I guess the catch is, that's the only way you can get in. You can't work your way in by developing all these spiritual muscles are doing all these things. You can't buy your way in. There's no dollar price on this membership. It's only by just accepting the Lord Jesus. Many gyms require you to be a certain age before you can join. Not so with God. You're never too young, for example, to join this one. Some centers are geared to women only, just to probably keep the men out, obviously, but some are geared to women only. That didn't come across quite the way I meant it. Not so in God's gym. Many people decide that they're past the point where they want to go work out in the gym and keep doing strenuous exercises. But with God, the more you work out, the stronger you get, and it just keeps growing. So how do we make use of our time in God's gym? So the same way that you look to, for a recipe for success in sports or in other things, there's a recipe for success in growing in the Lord Jesus, isn't there? So I'm going to suggest a few of them. One is to set a goal. So what might be our goal if we're trying to strengthen ourselves in the Lord Jesus? How about the greatest commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And we sung about that, didn't we? Come, now is the time to worship. Now is the time, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We gladly choose you now. Get a partner. As individuals, it's easy for us to get discouraged or to start sliding away at times, isn't it? One of the ways to ensure that we're strengthening ourselves in the Lord and staying close to the Lord is to have someone we can confide in, someone that's going to hold us accountable for what we're doing in our lives. In Ecclesiastes 4:9, we read that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. I don't know if anyone has one of these in the gym or in sports, but with the Lord, we all get a personal trainer. And the personal trainer is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be with you. Isn't that amazing? Our own trainer who's there 24/7. Encourage each other. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul's reminding people that Jesus is going to return one day and those who belong to him are going to spend their eternity with him. We're not to be worrying about the things of the world, but just keep in mind, keep everything in mind in light of the big picture, in light of the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians tells us, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. In Hebrews, we read, take care, brethren, that there may not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So set goals. Get a partner. We have a personal trainer. Encouragement. Teamwork. We all have a role to play and to practice, don't we? In Romans 12, we read that, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now somebody said, be dedicated, right? Dedication. Excellent. Message from Numbers, or reading from Numbers. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, When a man or woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite, to dedicate himself to the Lord. I don't think I put all of that on the screen here. He shall abstain from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar, whether made from wine or strong drink, nor shall he drink any grape juice, meat, fresh or dried grapes. All the days of his separation he shall not eat anything that is produced by the grapevine, from the seeds even to the skin. All the days of his vow of separation, no razor shall pass over his head. He shall be holy until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall let the locks of hair on his head grow long. Now I should note I didn't pick this just because my hair is long. But I kind of chuckle because I thought the link to the hair and going to the gym and having the strength of Samson, who was a Nazarite, it's got a little bit of appeal. I don't think I have to worry about that either, but if you want to read about who Samson was, you can read about Samson this afternoon in Judges chapters 13 to 16. In Leviticus, the Lord speaks to Moses and tells him, these are the things that are clean, these are things that are not clean. Leviticus revealing the law. And we read in Leviticus, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And to consecrate yourselves is to be dedicated, to set yourselves apart, and be prepared, in this case, to follow the Lord. Does anyone know how long it takes to form a habit? Pardon? 3 weeks. Nicholas? Six weeks. Was that weeks, maybe?
Yes.
6 weeks. I think generally people say about 30 days, so we're all pretty close. 30 days to form a habit. In the gym, people might work on different body parts one day, and then the next day they'll work on some different body parts. So, for example, one day maybe they work on the upper body, one day on the lower body. But what people do is they develop a routine that helps them maximize the time they spend in the gym, but also lets them recover so that they're not overworking any one part. Likewise, people who are really involved in certain sports will develop a routine that ensures they can push themselves and practice as much as they can to get as good as they can. So when they're going to do their strength training, when they're going to do their running, work on technique, when they're going to eat, and the list goes on. If we're going to grow as followers of Jesus, we also need to develop a routine, don't we? How do we start our days? Do we jump from one thing to another? Or do we have time set aside in our days for things of the Lord? One way God works is through people. So I might ask the question, do we set aside time in the day to be His hands and His feet for others? I think our routine needs to include lots of time in God's gym if we're going to be built up and strengthened in Him. When someone decides they're going to be the best they can be, most of their waking time is spent thinking of that sport or activity, isn't it? How often during the day do we think of spiritual things? What do we listen to? What do we watch? What do we read during the day? Do we have that discipline and focus? Do we press on even when times are tough? You know, or when we don't feel like doing something? Or do we just kind of walk away and let it go? In John 6, we see that Jesus speaking and says, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Jesus says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal. And he goes on to say, the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And he goes on to say, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. In Jeremiah, the exiles were told that, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. And this is referring to the fact that the Israelites will return. They're going to be fed on knowledge and understanding so they will know the Lord. Likewise, we need to feed on the Word of God, don't we? Do we need to continue feeding? I would suggest so. In Hebrews, we're told that for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So not only do we come and say we're in the gym, we want to join the gym, but we're expected to grow in grace and love of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to suggest that as human beings, as a human race, we're inherently lazy. And that might not apply totally to everybody here, but I think it's generally safe to say that as humans, we tend to do whatever we have to do, and then we stop. Our bodies adjust, for example, to a certain amount of exercise, maybe a certain amount of stress, and then our bodies resist when we try and push a little harder. When we're exercising, you hit these plateaus, and we try and get past them by switching up what we're doing. We'll do different exercises, or we'll change the routine a bit to get past them. As Christians, we get past the plateaus that we experience by drawing closer to the Lord. What do I mean by that? By trusting and following, even when we don't see where the Lord's leading. By trusting and following when things look really difficult. That's how we get through those plateaus. God never told us what the whole roadmap is going to look like. He just lights our way a step at a time. But neither did God promise that as Christians, we're going to have life that's really easy, a bed of roses, and we're just going to coast from one thing to another. Quite the opposite, actually. But he did say he'll be with us through all those times, didn't he? And it's through those times that we grow closer to him. It's through those times of experience and learning that we get past those little plateaus. Ted alluded to this when I was asking the questions about secrets to success, and I've purposely left this one off the list till now. The key to success in sports and working in the gym isn't just the physical aspect, is it? If we don't have the drive, that inward desire to succeed, then we might see improvements as you go through the motions, but we aren't going to get to the top. We're not going to be the best we can be. People can get bigger and stronger and faster, but they're not going to reach that pinnacle, are they? When God told the prophet Samuel that David was to be anointed king, he told Samuel he would specify which of Jesse's sons, Jesse was David's father, who would be king. Samuel saw 7 brothers, and none of them were chosen by God. And this is what Samuel was told when he saw David's brother Eliab in 1 Samuel. I'll read it. He said, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" In God's gym, going through the motions doesn't cut it. The scribes and the Pharisees were religious leaders in Jesus' day. They knew and they taught the scriptures. They prayed. They did things. They gave. They were respected by the people. But their hearts weren't right with God. In Matthew, Jesus condemns them. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like men. You are men like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. If you're going to church, praying, or even reading your Bibles as a way of making yourselves right with God, if we're doing that, we're missing the mark. Just doing the quote-unquote right things, when our hearts aren't there or our hearts aren't right with the Lord, or for the wrong reason, for example, if we think that we're going to do it and earn blessings from God, if we're doing that, we're just doing religious activities. We're not honoring God. Jesus isn't interested, though, in religious activities. Jesus wants a relationship with us. We need to have a heartfelt desire to be there, a heartfelt desire to follow the Lord and be in that love relationship with Him. When we do the quote-unquote right things, then we're in a relationship. And this is our purpose in life. This is what God created us for. In Ephesians 1, we read this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And we go on down to verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. Why are we here? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise of the glory of His grace, to the praise of His glory. It's about us glorifying Him in our lives, not about Him blessing us in our lives. Where are our hearts today? The Israelites weren't following the Lord, and they were sent out into exile. But even then, they were told that, you know what? The Lord said, I still love you. I want you back. I want you in that relationship with you. In Ezekiel, we read that, Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In Jeremiah, I love this passage. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Where is your heart today? Where is my heart today? Are our hearts with the Lord? I do hope that nobody leaves here this morning without Jesus in their lives. We were created to be in a relationship with Jesus, and He waits for us to join Him. We need to grow and to be strengthened. We need to continue to trust Him to lead our lives. God calls us to be set apart for Him, to be consecrated for Him, and to live our lives in a way that honors Him. It's not that we can't participate in sports or other activities, but we do these things while keeping an eye on the bigger picture. Hopefully, we'll be able to repeat Paul's words that he said to 2 Timothy, or he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy. I hope we can all say this at one point. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. In closing, I'd like to sing The Heart of Worship. And this song reminds us that all we really do and need to do is about honoring Jesus. It's not about trying to build ourselves up. And I hope this is how each of us seeks to live. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, it is all about you. It's all about Jesus. Help us, Lord, just to live our lives in a way that would be honoring to you. Help us to keep you in mind during the day. Help us to be focused on the big picture as we go through different aspects of our lives. We just ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.